Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Rooted Podcast. I'm your host, Cassandra, and I'm so grateful that you're here for yet another episode. Before we get started on today's episode, my first trimester recap, I just wanted to take a second again to say thank you so much for just all of the love and the support and excitement that you've all shown both me and Jonathan with my post on Instagram and the podcast episode that went out 2 weeks ago announcing our pregnancy. We are both so grateful for it and just super excited to take you along on the journey with us, you know, within reason. I mentioned on the initial episode called We're Having a Baby that being on the other side of pregnancy loss and just the deep hell of IVF, I'm really tender and extremely sensitive to those of you who are also living that experience. So I'll just say this again. My biggest priority is that your emotional well-being and heart is safe, and you have every right. In fact, I condone you to skip these pregnancy episodes if that's what feels right and nourishing for you. I used to opt out all the time, and sometimes I even still do if it feels, you know, like I'm contracting or maybe I don't want to hear someone's experience of a really bad birth or something like that. So I think it's really healthy to just follow the ping of what feels good for us. And sometimes we just need to stay in our own protective bubble and vortex. So all that to say, I really do get it. My plan with the podcast and this pregnancy was to be doing trimester recaps. So only two more to go from here, as well as some episodes around our experience with IVF. We'll see about that. Those would be just to offer my, you know, the sole intention of offering my viewpoint on the subject and, you know, just like things that I wish that I knew that I know now after taking the super hard road and just acknowledging what they don't always tell you and the like. So again, you have my full support to skip on one, some, or all of these episodes, but just a reminder that they'll be semi far and few between. This won't all of a sudden become a podcast centered all around pregnancy. But, you know, my life is shifting and this podcast is centered around and dedicated to sharing my life experiences and just like the nuggets that I've gathered through my life and things that I'm going through in real time in hopes that I can better relate to you on a deeper level, you know, by being vulnerable and showing up fully and to be able to support you and to share my gritty experiences in hopes that maybe you can take an easier path and to just be raw in both the hard and in the sweet things in life that are happening. So if you feel seen and just less alone after listening to these episodes, then that is truly all that I want. That's been my sole mission within this show since day one. So that alone is just good enough for me. So again, today's episode is a full recap on my first trimester in pregnancy. And whoa, it was so humbling. I'm currently 16 weeks pregnant, so 4 months and in my second trimester. And although I'm still experiencing some crazy changes to my body, I'm finding myself deeper and deeper into the vortex that is pregnancy. I feel good. And that's something that I'll address, you know, once I do my second trimester recap. But yeah, it feels nice to feel like a human again. So I don't think I could have anticipated what the first trimester was like. A fun little bonus at the end of this episode is that I have Jonathan coming on for a really quick just synopsis and like his point of view on how things were for him, because we don't get to hear from the male perspective very often. And I don't know. I just thought that that would be fun to get his take on it. My plan was to have him do a gender reveal, but unbeknownst to me, he slipped, I guess, at some point during. So you may get it earlier than the very end of the episode. Okay, so I'm going to share my own personal experience. A loving reminder, first and foremost, that every single woman, every body, every experience is so radically different. There's just no room for comparison here. And I challenge you, if you start to compare yourself to my journey, to my story, just take a deep breath. And remind yourself that we are two completely different human beings. Part of what made my first month so difficult, to be honest, like emotionally, was that I was comparing my pregnancy to complete strangers and friends alike. And it was so, so draining and hard. It took a lot of the magic away, and I just don't want that for you. Whether you're pregnant, have had a baby in the past, or it's something that you're hoping for in the future, it's just so crucial, myself included, that we remember that we are all so different and that that's the point. On the flip side, as a woman, we've been conditioned to stay small, though, and not talk about these things in a vulnerable way. And fortunately, I do feel like that's shifting quite a bit. And, you know, I'm here to participate in that change and in those conversations. I don't give a shit if some of this stuff is taboo. It needs to be talked about. I mean, I found myself in radical moments of fear for what was going on with my mental health and my physical body. And thankfully for me, my sister is a home birth midwife, and my nurse midwife who we're using for our delivery is a friend of mine. So I had this safe place to go where I could contact these women who both have the knowledge and the language to normalize it all for me, right? But as a society, we don't necessarily have that luxury. So again, if candidly sharing my own experience with you can help you feel seen even just a little bit, that's literally all I want. Okay, now really on to the episode. So you all know the unexpected story. I say unexpected lightly, story of how we found out. And if you don't, or you missed that episode, you can visit episode 126 called We're Having a Baby, and then come back to this one so you have some context and backstory. We found out at 4 weeks that we were pregnant, and I will say, while my boobs were so sore and the fatigue was so bad, I'd say it was like probably an 8 out of 10. I was still chalking this up to the progesterone and the estrogen of our IVF clinic. So we still had 4 more weeks to go of being on these meds. So I was convinced that, you know, once I was off and my natural progesterone and estrogen levels took over, you know, like the soreness and the fatigue would dwindle a bit. You know, after all, I was doubling all of that in my body with these meds. Spoiler alert, I was so wrong. Week 5, to be honest, was pretty tame. It was just like the soreness and the fatigue. But come 6 weeks, day 1, we were on our way to the clinic to have our first ultrasound since the transfer. This is where the challenges really came into play for me with my first trimester, because I have severe, I'm talking like severe PTSD when it comes to ultrasounds. It's getting a little bit better. I really do think that my therapy is helping. It's somatic therapy, so I'm getting a lot of that physical trauma sort of out of my body. But you've likely heard me tell our miscarriage story from last year, but we had a missed miscarriage, which means that it was discovered at our ultrasound. So it really does make perfect sense that I have a really hard time seeing these as exciting. Again, that's like starting to change as each month we are getting checkups and hearing the baby's heartbeat and et cetera. But while Jay and I were in the waiting room, I was quite literally convulsing. Jonathan had to wrap his whole body around me just to keep me leveled. Think like a weighted blanket. And when they took us back, it was nice because I was able to vocalize to the ultrasound tech about our past experience and how I was feeling. And she was so kind, so kind. And the moment that she inserted the probe — this early you have to do transvaginal rather than abdominal ultrasounds — she just went straight to the heartbeat to confirm. Truly, it was a matter of like maybe 2 seconds before she was like, there's the heartbeat. It's so nice and strong. So our last clinic at 6 weeks, we saw the heartbeat, but we didn't get to hear it. And I'm not sure why that was. It just wasn't an option. So when the tech turned up the volume and Jay and I heard the heartbeat, we just totally sobbed. It was such a sense of relief, like a deep breath. We got our first sonogram photos, and it just felt like we were on a total high for the rest of the week. But as trauma always does, it started to creep back in, and I'll get to that in just a moment. So around this day, I would say like towards the evening, the nausea kicked in, and all I can say is holy shit. I have never felt anything like that in my entire life. It was like the constant need to throw up without actually being able to throw up. When I think of it, I'm like, that would have been a luxury in some ways, a little feeling of relief. And now for those of my women who, you know, were chronically throwing up, I also understand that that is so taxing. I'm just speaking to like that feeling of constantly having to be like, oh my God, is there a bathroom nearby? And then like never getting that like real relief. So instead, like clockwork, around 10 a.m. until I went to sleep, it was like this impending doom of nausea. And my boobs were also so sore that the only way I could really relay it to Jonathan was to tell him that it felt like my boobs had like a severe case of the flu. You know, like that deep ache. Oh, this was also the time too where my major food aversions kicked in. The nausea made it to where I wasn't really craving anything other than just like carbs. So I needed to really carb load and try to keep the sickness at bay. Fresh fruit and like ice cold water. I'm usually a room temp person through and through, but like even to this day, it needs to be really, really, really cold. But like bagels, waffles, toast, pasta, anything of that nature is the only thing that sounded good. That and what was so bizarre too, I'm such a lover of coffee. My morning coffee, yeah, that was not happening. I was able to reintroduce small amounts by like week 9, but those first few weeks, I could not stand it. So week 7 and 8 were kind of the same, like much of the same. By week 8, we had our final ultrasound with the IVF clinic and just 7 more days, I believe, of shots and pills until we were officially discharged to our midwife, which I was counting down the days to. I was just like, it was just extremely exciting and freeing to think about being able to label myself as just like a pregnant person, no longer an IVF patient. There's just like some extra weight to being an IVF patient. It's a lot of, yeah, I don't really know how to explain it. There's just like a lot of fear, I guess. It makes you feel like you're high risk, even though that's not true. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, the trauma and the PTSD was in full swing. Last year at this time was when we found out that we had lost our baby at 8 weeks. And all I could think about is that, you know, the same was true for this one. Like, how could it be any different? Jay and I had gotten so used to hearing bad news that as depressing as it sounds, like at this point, it just felt like it was our new normal. So I had convinced myself in some like messed up way that I wasn't deserving of this, or maybe I was just, you know, meant to go through really hard shit. And that was it. Like, my journey here is to be sad and to like share how to cope with grief and anxiety. Like, it makes me so sad to even just say that out loud, but that was truly how I was feeling. That was my mental state. So the same story, we were sitting in the waiting room, me shaking, Jonathan holding on to me with purpose. The same tech was with us for this ultrasound, which was really comforting. And the exact same thing happened. Within 2 seconds, loving reassurance and even quicker heartbeat, our baby was, you know, not only healthy, but she was thriving. And I thought I sobbed the first ultrasound, but oh my God, this was just a different kind of relief. This felt like maybe we actually had a shot at this, you know, that maybe this was actually our reality, that maybe we would be okay. And we left with our sonogram photos and shared the relieving news with our parents and my sister Britt, who is going to be another assisted midwife at the birth. And day by day, just kept reminding ourselves that this was a fresh new experience. Jonathan was so helpful in that regard of just like reminding me day in and day out that like, this is its own embryo. Like, this baby is its own baby. This is our own experience. This is brand new. You know, like, they're not directly related. And that really helped the more that I could like visualize them as like complete, almost like reading a brand new book by a different author, if you will. But it was still hard. I'm not going to lie or try and sugarcoat it. The mental aspect of this pregnancy was really complicated. I was so overjoyed, of course. This is all I've ever wanted, and it was equally met with terror. And this made me feel, to be honest, this made me feel so guilty and frustrated because I finally had everything that we had worked so hard for, and I just couldn't let myself fully lean into it. And that's the really fucked up thing for anyone who's suffered pregnancy loss or has gone through IVF and has had transfer failures, whatever. It really does strip you of your innocence, and it's a full-time job to try and rewire your brain into knowing and believing that you aren't doomed. You just went through something terrible, but that doesn't seal your fate. And the nausea did help, funny enough. It felt reassuring to feel so awful, you know, just like a reminder that our baby was working hard in there. I would joke that I truly didn't care how bad they made me feel, but that they could give it all to me and I would just take it, just to be reminded that we're in this together. But a really important side note here, I mean, I wish I could say this in like bold letters, this can really fuck a woman up. I'm not here to say that nausea equals a healthy pregnancy, okay? Like, I just want that to be in bold font, huge letters, because I actually want to scream it from the top of my lungs that this is just not true at all. Nausea does not equal a healthy pregnancy. For me, it felt nice because with our pregnancy loss, I didn't have any symptoms at all. So it was just a nice little thing to differentiate the experience, the juxtaposition of like the two different pregnancies. But again, nausea doesn't mean your baby is stronger or more healthy than the woman to your left. It means you have different hormones because you are two different bodies and each pregnancy is different. Like, full stop. I have friends who felt amazing during their pregnancies and their babies were perfect. Jonathan's mom had four kids and felt like her best self all throughout. And while it's reassuring for some, of course, to feel side effects, it doesn't mean anything more and it doesn't mean anything less. Okay, rant over for now. I just feel like that's really important to say. I mean, I've heard so many people, even when people would ask how I was feeling and I would say, I'm pretty nauseous. They're like, well, the more nauseous, the better. And then I would go home and be like, am I not nauseous enough? Like, is that bad? Do you know what I mean? It's like, we need to stop saying these things to each other. I don't know. That's just my two cents. So the night of our last IVF injection was a fucking party. I remember dancing around the kitchen with Jonathan. We had our camera ready to document the last shot in the butt. Super cute. You guys should be dying to see what that picture looks like. And I just laid down on the couch and cried when we were done. Like, we did it. We had gotten further in the process than ever before. My body was now my own. I didn't rely on an alarm clock, on needles, on pills. My body could just naturally do what she was meant to do now to provide for my baby. And it was a total sense of freedom that I hadn't felt in a really, really long time. And though the journey to get back to my own body and autonomy would be long, and truthfully, like I said, I'm still working through this with my therapist, and my midwife and my sister, I was slowly finding my way back. And one thing that's starting to become really intense and prevalent around this time within the first trimester was that I was entering deep into the pregnancy vortex, which a lot of people don't talk about. Now, again, I have to imagine that this feels so different for so many women, but for me, it was deeply spiritual. I was really starting to feel ultra connected in a way I hadn't for years, since like 2018 when I had my rock bottom and like mini awakening, we'll call it. It was like the serious need to go in, so inward, almost like I was being called to just sink into my soul and listen intently for what it was trying to tell me. And what it was trying to tell me was that I could trust this process. I could trust myself. I could trust this baby, and I could lean into love over fear, that I need to introduce more play. Easier said than done when you're feeling super pukey though. I mentioned this in episode 126, but for someone who has been searching for their purpose for decades and always feeling like, I don't know, like feeling like I was coming up empty, always feeling like I was never enough, and just like seeking that feeling, becoming pregnant with our baby was that moment for me. I had always known deep down that I wanted to be a mother, and it felt so intense at an early age for me. And I can recognize that now. It was because I truly believe that that's my soul's purpose, to mother. And for some, that might not feel like enough, and that's beautiful too. But for me, I've always felt the opposite. Like, any job I've had, any product I've made, anything I've done, always felt, I don't want to say inadequate, but just like it never made me feel like my complete self. But within this pregnancy journey, that's, I don't know. It's just, it's getting more and more intense, that resonance, that knowing of feeling like I'm exactly where I'm meant to be, doing exactly what I'm meant to be doing with the exact baby that I'm meant to be doing it with. And I know deep down that this time with our baby growing inside of me is a time that I will never get to relive again, that this was an awakening in its own right. And I know that I want to be just wide awake for it all and to learn all of the lessons that I'm meant to learn while nurturing and growing them. And it's been so hard, yet so incredible. And I've worked with some amazing energy healers and Reiki practitioners throughout this pregnancy, which was so important in the first trimester. because it really enriched the experience tenfold, where I was really scared and not feeling good. But it, yeah, like helped me to release and really drop the fear-based way of living as much as I could in that moment, and to just try and embrace the soul and the journey that we're meant to be taking together. I've been learning how to sit with and channel my baby and be in deep conversation, to hear what they need, and in turn to get really clear with what it is that I also need. So that's been incredibly special, and I'm so grateful for it. I'll definitely talk about this more in another episode, because the vortex is really powerful and it just keeps getting more and more deep and enriched, which is super fun and something that I wasn't fully expecting. So, okay, let's see. Weeks 9 and 10 felt like they came and went, to be honest, and the nausea was still so real. Plus, heartburn and indigestion now entered the chat. My aversions to food, I would say, were still pretty strong as ever. The saddest thing is that salmon, which has always been like one of my favorite foods, is still a no-go. I had it once last week having lunch with a friend, and it was like pretty good, I guess. I was able to stomach it, but it was not hitting the same. But to add to the mix, my sense of smell was through the roof. Poor Jonathan at this point could not eat next to me, nor could he snuggle up to me after he ate. His cologne was a no, his body wash, nope. Everything and anything that went onto my skin and onto my body had to be replaced with fragrance-free. It was so, so, so intense. It felt like everything just brought me to my knees. And that still remains semi-true, but I guess just not as intense, if that makes sense. I've been able to go back to like my normal shampoo and conditioner and lavender deodorant, but lotions still need to be fragrance free, as well as like all of my face lotions. And if a person walks by with a strong perfume or cologne, I generally have to take a beat to recenter myself, where before that just like really didn't bother me. A fun thing about week 10 was that I literally woke up that morning, the mark of week 10, day one, and had a little bump. Now, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to comparison. It's so easy to look at other women online or maybe friends at this point in their pregnancy and ask what their bump was like. There truly is no point. Truly is no point. Because again, you know what I'm going to say. We are all so different. We are built different. Each baby is so different. Our bodies respond to pregnancy in a myriad of ways. For me, by week 10, I was showing. But you know, to the outside world, they might not know. They'd probably think I had a really big lunch. But to me and to Jonathan, it was obvious. And that was just really special. It was that like extra bout of reassurance that just made me feel, I don't know, made me feel safe. And it made me feel connected to this baby. So it was week 10 that we decided to start documenting the bump. And we continue to do that every Friday here out. And it's been one of the coolest things to see and look back on, just like the progression each week. It's wild how much changes in just 7 days. Truly, it like blows my mind. By week 11, my nausea was starting to get a bit better, but I wasn't out of the dark. One thing I didn't mention that was around week 9, it started creeping up with a vengeance in the middle of the night, which was awful. Like 1 a.m., I was moaning and could not get comfortable. 3 a.m., same thing. It made sleeping just really miserable. A few nights were so bad that I had no choice but to take a half a Unisom just to get some sleep. And since I'm not huge on taking medication anyway, and felt like I had just freed myself from taking pills, right? I wanted to avoid it as much as possible, but a girl's gotta sleep. So by now, I'm basically living off of bagels, fruit and Matt's orange juice. It had to be Matt's. The occasional smoothie, and oddly enough, my water, like I mentioned before, it just had to be iced cold, and it still does. I cannot drink room temp water, which has always been my MO. I have really sensitive teeth and just cold things give me a really big headache, but now it's just what I need, and it just hits the spot. So by week 11, my bump is becoming a little bit hard to ignore, and my pants just, nope, they don't fit anymore. My yoga pants weren't cutting it anymore. They were so tight. So I had to bite the bullet and buy a pair of maternity ones. I bought a couple pairs from Amazon that are really good, and then a two pack from Target that I really, really love. To be honest, I didn't care. I mean, I loved that my body was changing and that the bump was growing, but I think in that first trimester, it's weird because you know why your stomach is growing, but it doesn't feel hard yet. So it's just like kind of smushy. And so it's hard to, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I would have a lot of irritability trying to get dressed during the first trimester. I shed a lot of tears over this and I just didn't feel like myself. I guess that's it. I just didn't feel like myself in so many ways, like mind and body alike. The hormones were just running rapid at this point, and I just felt, I felt like all over the map. I'd be ecstatic one day, buzzing with creativity and joy, and then the next, just flat out down. One thing no one ever talks about during pregnancy is the depressive dips. I talked to my oldest sister, Shannon, about this the other day. And like, why the hell don't we talk about that? I was so confused and terrified. And again, this is like my absolute dream coming true. And here I am sobbing and feeling so empty inside. And we give attention to this in postpartum, but you don't hear about it as much when you're in pregnancy. The hormones moving through your body are just so next level. Things are changing at rapid speed. And so once I was able to talk this through with my sister, I was able to give myself so much more grace. And it also really helped to be able to speak out loud to Jonathan what was happening. I hadn't previously because I felt so guilty and a little insane for feeling this way. But the first time that I did open up to him, it helped immediately. So I just promised myself right then and there that I would be completely open with him and anyone that I felt safe talking to about it whenever this came on again. I would say the most exciting piece of week 11 was about halfway through the week. We had our first appointment with our midwife, who we just love so much. I feel so lucky that she's become a friend of mine and someone that I just trust so deeply. So just being able to share this with her on multiple levels is really special. And I would say that this ultrasound was by far my favorite. I still went in extremely nervous, and I've just come to terms that this will just most likely always be how I feel. And just have accepted that both things can be true, right? I can be excited and fearful, but that the fear doesn't necessarily have to win out. So by now, the baby is no longer an embryo. It had graduated to being an actual fetus, like a baby. And when we saw them on the screen, I just remember we literally gasped because they looked like an actual human, like an actual baby, where the previous scans, you know, like being in IVF, we had seen our baby so early on, which isn't the norm. But when you see them that small, it literally just looks like an oval with a heartbeat. So it was really, really cool to be able to see the progression of what lovingly looks like a sweet, sweet little blob, looks like a sweet little baby with like a button nose and arms and legs and a belly, and just actually being able to see the heart. Wow, it was so cool. And in addition to that, the baby was moving around like crazy. It was just the coolest thing I've ever experienced thus far. It quite literally looked like they were going up and down a slide, and then they'd like pop up like a little piece of popcorn. The tech had said like, look, they're having so much fun already. And it just made my heart like nearly explode. And I meditate still on this daily, just envisioning the baby sliding around and just enjoying their time and growing and evolving. And yeah, I mean, those sonogram photos are my absolute favorite, and we have them all over the house. It just makes me so happy to walk by every day, multiple times a day. And aside from my growing belly, it just makes it all feel so real, right? While I wait for our first kick and movement from the baby. I would say one thing I wanted to mention that was so bizarre, if this ever happens to anybody or if it did happen to you, was that around week 9, I think, I noticed this like red patch on my chest. It was like the size of a quarter, didn't itch at all. It was just like there and wasn't like risen or anything like that. Then in week 11, I woke up one day and looked in the mirror like before getting in the shower. So I was totally naked, and it literally looked like I had chicken pox all over my body. And I freaked out a little bit because like, hello, what the hell? I immediately was like, wait, did I just develop like psoriasis or eczema during this pregnancy? And because I refused to Google anything anymore after my first few weeks of pregnancy, I texted my sister, who had likely said that it was like dry patches or pregnancy-induced eczema, because hormones can do such crazy things to your body. So she just reassured me that if it wasn't irritating, it would likely disappear on its own. So I just started lathering it in castor oil. That wasn't really working. So I ended up buying the Cetaphil, like, fragrance-free deep moisture cream that's, like, really, really thick, and would just rub it all over my belly and my chest and my arms, my back. I mean, you guys, it was everywhere. And I think by, like, week 13 or 14, I would say that they just vanished. It was like I woke up one day and they were gone. So just a heads up that hormones are wild and our skin is a sensitive thing, especially during pregnancy. So week 12, 3 months pregnant, nausea is fading for the most part. I have days here and there where I feel pretty run down and food doesn't sound good. So that's generally when I rely on my trusted bagels and fruit and smoothies. But by 1 p.m. like clockwork, you guys, at this point, I would just be ready for bed. So tired that I could hardly use my arms. It's like this level of fatigue I didn't even know was possible. So that's the irony, because remember when I was telling you how I was so excited to stop the meds from IVF because it felt like it would maybe lessen my side effects? Yeah, no, the boob soreness and the fatigue, the joke was totally on me. The soreness was next level, like it made it hard to sleep, and the fatigue was just, oh my God. I mean, I remember being in the shower and not even being able to like fully wash my hair. It's just too exhausting to like lift up the groceries from the store. It was just very, very humbling. So week 12, my bump at this point is growing. Now it's pretty rock hard, and you can actually like, what's so bizarre is internally you can feel that your organs have like been like pushed up. And I don't know, it started making sleeping really uncomfortable since, like, you know, there's like so much pressure, but basically straddling a king size pillow did the trick. I thought that would maybe still be the route that I'm taking today, but I found a pregnancy pillow that literally looks like a boat. Jonathan likes to pretend that we're playing bumper cars in bed because it's so massive, but it's really the only way that I can sleep to get that like belly and back support at the same time. So with the 12 weeks, while I'm still bone tired by 1 p.m. every day, I've started to introduce working out at this point. Yes, the fatigue a little bit, at least it delayed it to like a more reasonable hour. But if I sit down on the couch, I'm done for. So at this point, I was trying to honor my body and just not overdo it, but also keep busy, you know, to avoid those deep crashes. The deep afternoon crashes are also not helpful. I noticed that they were really taking a toll on my mental health. Like that's when like the depression would really creep in. So it was kind of a win-win to get out and move my body. I decided to do some bar and to swim at this new Olympic size natatorium that was built just down the street from our house. It is so beautiful. It's been the most therapeutic thing for me still to this day during pregnancy. Swimming was my first love and passion growing up. So it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like the most nourishing workout that I could do for myself, but also a really safe space for me and baby to connect and just to like be in this meditative state together underwater. So by week 13, my nausea is non-existent for the most part. I was able to keep, you know, the trick for me actually was that if I had snacks on me at all times and if they have a lot of protein, I was able to keep the nausea at bay. My appetite was also like skyrocketed, and I was full on hungry pretty much every hour on the hour. So I really had to be mindful of what it was that I was putting into my body just to like not gain too much weight and to keep it safe for baby. But that actually all ended up working out. I mean, I will tell you that it's been a challenge to, even now in the second trimester, it's been a challenge to not totally overthink it or like shame myself with the things that I'm craving. Like from weeks 11 even to now, I will need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like a good old fashioned peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I would have to like just get out of my head and be like, it's okay that I'm having this. And also just to like a side note on cravings and indulgences and stuff like that, it's been actually kind of fun for me to see how I can make it like a healthier version. So for the PB&J, it's like having it on Ezekiel bread, so sprouted grain bread, and then using nut butter and like a low sugar jam or something like that. And I recently shared on Instagram that I made dates where I opened up the dates and added nut butter and a pecan and some sea salt and froze them. So it's like the most delicious little sweet tooth treat. Otherwise, my tried and true on-the-go snacks for the first trimester and still are these mixed nuts from Trader Joe's. They're like in these little portioned out bags, cheese sticks with like an apple or a pear, a smoothie with collagen, applesauce. I love applesauce. And yeah, the aforementioned PB&J that I load with nut butter. I'll just keep one of those with me at all times. The depressive dips were still coming and going at week 13. But again, moving my body with just like bar and swimming and long walks were really helping every single time. I was really trying to be generous with myself and just really show myself grace by just allowing rest to come in its ebbs and flows, to eat when my body is hungry, to drink lots of water, and just really allow myself to be. It's so much easier said than done. And I'm still trying to remind myself often that this is just one of the tests that my soul is trying to help me learn. I've always been someone who resists rest, or at least feels super guilty for it, I should say, for having needs, right? And now that I'm a home for another soul, there is no greater time than right now to tap into what this vessel needs and to honor it without any apologies. Jonathan has been so great at reminding me of this too, thank God, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because he's the one that I generally feel most guilty towards for laying down at 1 p.m. or asking for a craving, or if he'll fill up my water, even though he's like the first to ask if I need it. But old patterns die hard, you guys. So by now at week 13, all of our family and closest friends know the news, which feels really sweet and really special. And again, it's just one of those things that makes it feel that much more real. It's also just fun to be out running errands and to have strangers, like, not everybody congratulates, because like I was talking to Jonathan about this. So I was like, do I look pregnant, or just like, do I just look like I have a really big food baby? And he was like, you definitely look pregnant. I'm like, well, people don't say anything. And he's like, yeah, but like, do you? And I was like, yeah, no, I guess not. There's been like a couple times where like a woman's bump was like so pronounced that I was like, you look amazing, you know, something like that. But for the most part, yeah, like I don't comment on women's bodies. It's like that smile that you receive from strangers. That's really, really sweet. But yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, being out in public and like carrying this little life and this little bump, it's like this lightning bolt that goes through my body each time. And I just want to cry happy tears, and just, you want to like tell everybody just how much you love this baby and how big of a journey it's been to get here. But instead you just smile back. What a ride, what an experience, what a journey. And we've still got quite a bit to experience. We're on the tail end of our fourth month, so about to enter our fifth month, so the second trimester, and I still have so much to share even just now, like during this update. From week 13 to today, there's been a lot changing, and I'll be honest and say that the anxiety still comes and goes, but instead of viewing it as an issue or that it's all about my PTSD and trauma, I'm really looking at it from the lens of just being a human, right? Like being a mother, being a parent, this is the ride. This is a part of it. And it's not going to stop once our baby is Earthside, right? It's going to shift into like this new, different anxiety, if you will. I'll experience it leading up to birth. I'll experience it once they're outside of me, turning into their own unique, beautiful human self. And all of that is just so normal. And it's just a part of this journey. So that's my piece. And now I'm going to bring it to Jonathan to share some of his experience before we close out this episode. So I thought it would be fun to have you on to talk about your experience with our first trimester of pregnancy, since we don't hear from the male perspective very often. It's generally 100% what the woman is going through and how the experience is for her. So first thing I'm going to ask you is, what was the experience like for you finding out that we were pregnant back in January? I told the story here on the podcast a couple of weeks ago from my perspective, but I want to hear it from yours.
Well, I think for me, I have to take it back another year. When we found out we were pregnant for the first time, which unfortunately resulted in a miscarriage, I think at that time there was a lot of excitement of, happy crying that then turned into a lot of fearfulness on my side of all that comes with that, from supporting you to everything that comes with it. And then 15 months later, whatever, plus or minus, we found out we were pregnant again. And honestly, I think for me, my emotion was relief. I went into it very confident, but yet throughout those 15 months, seeing the sheer kind of impact was really, really struggle for me. So that sense of relief felt great. I still had excitement, but relief and no fear, but excitement because we've also already had gone through so much together.
Relief is a good word. I think that's actually what I said when I was telling my perspective, was like when we started crying after we saw, you saw the HCG levels, and I was like, what are you looking at? But I remember you saying, like, I think you said to me in some way when I was crying and just like gasping, you're like, I think it's just so much like relief and tension, like being released from the body that we had been clinging on to for like 15 months.
Yeah, I mean, we were on the struggle bus. Yeah. We had not just that, but I had my own medical issues. We had family things. It just was a difficult first year and a half of marriage. So yeah, I think the feeling of it coming off your shoulders, I think is reasonable.
So you, I don't even know how to really pose the question, but for me, I guess how I felt mentally was like a disaster. Obviously, it's like a double-edged sword because you kind of nailed it on the head, but it was so exciting. It's such a relief. It's like all we've ever wanted, all we have asked for came to fruition. But in the same breath, it's like I was operating from a state of mind of like, how do we know that this is going to be different than the first time? Which is impossible to answer. You just don't know. You have to trust the process and just hope for the best. But for me, the first trimester, those first few months, even though I was super nauseous, even though I was having all of these symptoms, the doubt was like crippling. My anxiety was so bad. And I know that, you know, I spoke aloud those things to you. But I guess, what was that like for you? And again, there's no wrong answer, but like living with somebody whose chronic anxiety was like kind of on a next level. I mean, I was second guessing everything.
I mean, you're my wife, so I'll be truthful. It was frustrating.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating. We needed to trust the process, and we had spoken about it previously that we didn't want one misfortune or misstep to impact the happiness and all that goes with developing a child, even in those first few months, which is challenging in the sense that you are navigating uncertainty. But again, like I said, I felt confident, and each week I just continued to trust our doctor, trust the numbers, trust the statistics, because I'm a lot more focused in that sense that, you know, I wanted to know the miscarriage rate at each week, and I know you didn't.
Well, I was like, please stop saying the word miscarriage.
Yeah, well, but that's what was crippling your anxiety. Totally. Yeah. So I just wanted to support you by having that information and not directly translating it to you, but I guess trying to be the cornerstone as we both went through that process, and I supported you.
Yeah. I mean, you were a super good hype man for sure. And I think as the months went on, it got a little bit easier. And especially when we were kind of, I think once we surpassed where we had miscarried last time, the ease started to kind of like, you know, deeper breaths and just more trust was replacing the fear. But yeah, I have to imagine that was a hard spot to be in when you're feeling one way, but your partner's feeling the opposite, and you're trying to like kind of come to a compromise or like meet in the middle, because it is, I mean, there is parts of it that I've talked about before where, and you and I have talked about where, when you have gone through a miscarriage and then you're experiencing pregnancy again, it's like some of your innocence gets robbed. you know? And I think with that, some of your joy gets robbed too, which is like super unfair. But I don't know. There's nothing I think I really could have done differently, but having you try and sort of balance that out was helpful. I was trusting Google more than I was trusting our doctor. And
I mean, the internet's a great thing, but it can put you down a rabbit hole. And I mean, I tried to discourage that, but I mean, ultimately, like, you know, you didn't have a ton of distractions and it was what was on top of mind. So
let's talk about, this is where it gets a little bit more fun and lighthearted, but let's talk about the first ultrasound. I want to know what your experience was like what that felt like for you in your own words, seeing our baby and witnessing the heartbeat for the first time and hearing it, because hearing it, we were not expecting, which was cool because it was 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. I feel like, unfortunately, we had seen that before. I think for me, the bigger excitement was actually our first ultrasound with a birthing center where you actually get to see a little human and movement. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see a flicker of a light that's a heartbeat, but it's even more amazing to see your future child. Yeah, that was fantastic. And the videos that we have are things that I can't wait to show our child.
One of the best parts for both of us, especially myself and my poor butt or hips, whatever you want to call it, was our last IVF shot. I mean, the amount of time, it was like our neck had like a tweak at a certain time of night where we would like look back at the clock to see what time it was and if we had to get everything ready. You became the best nurse. You started doing my shots for my egg freezing 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, which is so weird. Like when we first started dating, like who knew that we'd be doing this for another 15-ish months. So first of all, what was it like for you having to give all those shots and just like going through that medical process? Because that was well into our first trimester too. So that's why I feel like it's a valid question.
I mean, honestly, outside of like those first few ones where you're like, what the hell am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I guess it became a routine. I mean, obviously I felt guilty that your body was changing due to these. You were in pain at times. It was uncomfortable. Our life dictated around it. If I wasn't here, you had to do it alone, which was not all that often. But if I was on work trips or out of the house, you had to do it. And that sucks to have to put that on you. But I mean, that last shot was great. It was like, all right, let's get the hell away from these needles, throw all this shit over at the police station and let them put it in their needle dispense box or whatever and be done with it.
Yeah. That was, and honestly, you like tapped my butt even in the bathroom earlier this morning. It still hurts. It's like so tender. It's been like 2 months now that we've been free of it. It is wild. Well, but I guess also it's like been almost 15 straight months into the same spot. So for anyone who's preparing to go through that, that might not be your reality. So now that we are heading into our fifth month, what has been strange might not be the right word, but what has been like the strangest piece for you watching and witnessing me carry our baby?
I think it's been awesome to like watch your body grow and to see what the female body does. Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes with severe exhaustion and maybe wanting to suck down a chocolate medium sized milkshake in 35 seconds.
I've never really been embarrassed about anything except like with you, except for that. So I had a craving for a chocolate milkshake and Jonathan brought home an Oberweis milkshake, like a medium sized one or whatever, and I think you were gone for literally, I think you like went into the garage and came back and I had finished it and you were like, the fuck is it gone? Like, did you just...
Well, I kind of wanted a sip, so that was the disappointing part about it as well.
But the one thing that I think is really sweet, and Jonathan, you've mentioned this like multiple times, but when you are the one carrying and like you're actually feeling like your organs get pushed up and your stomach get hard and like pushed out and stuff like that, it's obviously you're having two different experiences, you know, the partner and the carrier. But one thing, I absolutely love how like intimate you are with the belly. Like you're always touching it anytime that you can or talking to the baby. But I love being able to catch you sometimes just like staring at me. You'll just be like dead staring at my belly and you'll be like, I forget how you phrased it. But you're like, it hits me as a reality, like every single time that you walk by and I can see your bump. And yeah, that just has to be so bizarre sometimes, because especially as it gets like bigger throughout the day. But for me, it's like I'm walking with it all the time. I'm touching it constantly and we're not together all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, the growth is awesome, but it is, yes, it is not a gentle, but like a significant reminder of what's going on.
What also makes it a reality is us having to change sides of the bed, because I was waking up, still kind of am, but like there was one night where I woke up 10 times to pee in the middle of the night. And so Jonathan had a good idea for us to switch sides of the bed so that I could not have to walk around the whole room to go to the bathroom.
I secretly wanted to be closer to the window anyways.
So what has been the... Well, I know the demolishing the milkshake, but has there been any cravings or anything that stand out most for you? Like any weird ones that I've had? I haven't really sent you on a ton of errands.
I wouldn't say it's like weird things, but it's just like you love salmon and you, I mean, you eat that four times a week or whatever previously and couldn't touch it. Or, you know, we both like bacon and you're like, get the hell the smell out of the house right now. So I think it was more just like the aversions of things. Yeah. And, you know, I think we just navigated it by maybe eating separate meals, but together.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Okay, so I want to talk about hormones really quick, because I think that is something that I'm really curious for your perspective, because you're very kind, you're very supportive, but that doesn't mean... I guess I'm giving you the platform to talk about what it actually does feel like to be living with somebody whose hormones are like going through the roof. Like I remember that one night I was not nice to you. We were in bed and my hormones are just like reeling to the point where you like just quietly got up and went to your office and just like gave me some space. And I came in there to be like, I am so sorry. I don't know like what is going on. I feel like the weirdest version of myself. I guess I'm just wondering what those first 3 months felt like for you. And if they really didn't feel as radical as they felt like for me, like living in my own head, that's fine. But I'm wondering, I guess, what that experience was like for you. Did you feel like you had to like give me a lot of space throughout those 3 months? Did you feel like maybe I wasn't really as bad as I felt like I was?
I think it's the latter. I mean, I think that one evening was probably the only like bigger, not blowout, but like, whoa. Well, no, just like, this is, I should just leave. You know, I don't think generally your hormones have been all over the place. I mean, I think your hormones have been the first like 2 months impacted, where I'd get off of work and like an hour later you'd want to go to bed. So it was also like, you know, the guilty feeling of not having time together, but also just respecting the fact that if you need to sleep, you should sleep.
Yeah.
But I don't think you were like, I think you probably were more in your head of feeling mean or feeling hormonal than I experienced personally.
Okay. That makes me feel better. But yeah, because I will say internally, it felt like I was literally, I had like this like demon living inside of me that was like clawing to get out. It was pretty intense.
Maybe your hormones have just been passed to our dog Jasper, because he seems to be a lot more hormonal than anybody in this house.
That's true. Well, I love you and there's no one I would rather go through this with. And like I said, you're the best hype man ever. And through a lot, but we made it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Okay, before you go, I thought it would be fun for you to give the listeners a gender reveal. How do you feel about that?
Well, I actually already dropped it about 10 minutes ago. I said
our name. Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to give you a drum roll. I missed it, so somebody else missed it. She's a girl.
That's awesome. My life has been surrounded by females, so I just...
Mine too. Honestly, yeah. I have three sisters. Jonathan has three sisters. It's just... It's a part care either way.
I don't care either. I just want a healthy child.
For sure. Well, thanks for being here, love. I appreciate it. So there you have it. We're having a baby girl. And now that I think of it, I was like re-listening to our little interview there together, and I don't think he did spill it. I really don't. Maybe I'm crazy and I need to listen to it again, but I had this like totally planned out in my mind how I was going to like set up the gender reveal for him. And as life has it, you know, sometimes you just got to roll with the punches and let it flow. So that's how it came out. We are having a baby girl. We are so excited. Truly could not have cared either way. The fact that they're healthy and happy is our number one priority, but it was so fun to be able to, you know, kind of introduce you to Jonathan. You guys could hear from him, hear his voice, the person behind the scenes. It was just really special to have him on and just to hear some of his perspective from some of this first trimester that we got through and experienced together. So thank you so much for being here for yet another episode. And I cannot wait to have you back here next week. See you then.